I got Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorison here in the studio, chair of the county board, to help us wrap up the week. Declarer of a state of emergency a couple of days ago, so thanks for that. How are you?
I am okay. I'm glad to be out of the house.
Yeah, right. So how did the county do in terms of getting through the storm? What were the biggest issues and what still remains?
Well, the biggest issue this time was definitely the roads and the travel and you know, ensuring people stayed safe. The main reason that we decided to declare the state of emergency was really because of the road conditions. We had a couple of ambulances that were inaccessible as a result of roads. And so declaring the state of emergency allowed us to redeploy emergency services, allowed us to operationalize some of the fire departments to do who have emergency first aid, first responder training, to use those and to just be able to coordinate the resources better. Also would have allowed us to open shelters if we needed to. There were some power outages in Orange County, not very many, fortunately, but there were some power outages. Most of those were short-lived. What we wanted to do was be prepared in case those proved to be more widespread or longer.
I was talking with Lydia Lavelle about this from Carrboro earlier today, and I can remember ice storms fairly recently where 3 days later, you've still got sheets of ice on the roads, and now road conditions still aren't great, and the secondary roads are still being taken care of. But we're 2 days out from a 10, 11, 12-inch snowfall, and people are, for the most part, able to drive around. You still got to be careful, but the roads are passable, and that says a lot about the extent to which the public works crews got out and took care of things with this.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, you make a good point about the secondary roads, and it's important to remember lots of folks in this county live on secondary roads. Mm-hmm. It's a very hilly community, and so there's lots of folks who live downhills and the bottom of hills. It's much harder for those folks. So while we've done a good job on the main roads, that the getting the secondary roads cleared is a high priority as well. And then there's other issues that have come up. People mm-hmm. are concerned about getting their garbage picked up and their recycling picked up. So we're working on that to try to ensure that folks who miss their pickup for the recycling, at least in Orange County, they're not going to have to wait till the next time around. So
that's coming up. I think recycling pickup like today and tomorrow, right? Was that what the
I think
the
that's right.
That
yeah.
I heard? Yeah. OrangeCountyNC.gov, by the way, for county government information in general, and I assume all of the information about trash pickup and recycling pickup is there too, right?
That's right. Everything is there, all the information folks need.
What else should people know about recovery from the storm as we're getting into the weekend?
Well, I think, again, it looks like it's going to warm up tomorrow and Sunday, which is great. It is going to be below freezing tonight, so just for people who have been out driving and feel like things are looking good, we want to make sure that they realize that there might be refreezing tonight, that there are patches of ice that will develop, particularly on those secondary roads, places where that don't get much sunshine in the morning, and so to continue to be careful. Anybody who can stay home ideally should stay home. That's the thing. I was thinking to myself today, there's a lot of internet traffic, social media traffic, where folks from the north complaining about folks from the south don't know how to drive in snow, folks from the south saying they're tired of hearing people in the north saying how great they are driving in snow. I grew up in New York. I have experience driving in snow, but my thing is, why would you want to,
even if you can,
right? I'm happy to just stay inside, if you can work from home, that's great. I mean, I know folks are anxious for their kids to get back to school. I mean, 3 days of school is a lot to miss. And I know the schools are working to make those up, but as long as you've got everything you need, it's a good time to dig through that pile of books you've been putting off, or catch up on your video streaming, or just the news. I mean, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening. So,
Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, also civil rights attorney. So, speaking of exciting things in the news, let's go up a level to the state and talk about gerrymandering, because you've got so much to keep track of. There's several different cases that just had developments in the last 24 hours. So the Supreme Court issued a stay, which I kind of expected them to do, as we're still waiting for the Wisconsin case to come down on the partisan gerrymandering case involving our U.S. congressional district lines. The three-judge panel in Greensboro has decided to go with the special master's proposed map over the General Assembly's proposed map for state legislative district lines in the racial gerrymandering case. Legislators in the General Assembly are upset that they even have to talk about redrawing the district maps for legislative district lines, but they're currently talking about redrawing the district maps for judicial district lines, which no one else actually wants them to do. And all of those things are happening simultaneously. So how do we make sense of all of
this? That was a great summary,
right?
Actually.
You could
write that up.
Well, no, I've been talking about this nonstop ever since I've been working for WCHL, so I'm getting pretty used to it by now.
Well, and, you know, you've been talking about it nonstop since you've been here. I don't know how long that is, but I was just reading in one of these stories about what's happened, you know, that this is, you know, it's 2018. The redistricting happens after the decennial census. So the census was in 2010. The first round of redistricting happens in 2011. So almost this entire decade, we've been holding elections under maps that have been consistently declared unconstitutional.
Yeah. Fall of 2010, by the way, is when I started working here. Officially been talking about gerrymandering longer than I've been talking about the NCAA academic scandal, which is significant.
That is significant.
Yeah, right.
That's sort of, those are the two milestones of your career.
Pretty much.
So it is hard to keep track of. I mean, the exciting thing that happened today, the positive exciting thing was that in the legislative redistricting, which is the racial gerrymandering, that's the state house and state senate districts, the court, you know, the court has said the maps were racially discriminatory, they were intentional race discrimination in drawing them. The court has now said, we're adopting the special master's maps. We're not waiting anymore. The maps are going to be, these are the maps that are going to be used, and you've got plenty of time for your 2018 elections. So that's a real important, exciting, you know, positive development for folks who are committed to, you know, voting rights. There's the legislature has said it's going to appeal to the Supreme Court in that case, like it did in the congressional districts. But there is some interesting stuff on the election law blog today where analysis was that it seemed much less likely that they'd get a stay in the legislative, you know, racial gerrymandering case, in part because it's already been to the Supreme Court once and the court has said, you know, send it back down to for some final review.
Unanimously in that case.
That's right,
the Supreme
unanimously.
Court, right? Yeah.
So I'm sure they will appeal it. It seems much less likely. You know, it's already been up and down once. It's been fully vetted. Racial gerrymandering, there's a long history of, you know, Supreme Court and federal court jurisprudence about that. The decision of the three-judge panel was well within those parameters. The partisan gerrymandering case, which is about the congressional, the U.S. congressional seats, it was disappointing that it was stayed, but not as surprising, as you said. There is a case pending on the issue of partisan gerrymandering that is drawing the districts partisan advantage. There's a case that the Supreme Court's never ruled that is unconstitutional. There is a case pending there on the merits from Wisconsin, as you said. And so, again, not as surprising given the relative newness of this, the court's action on this. Mm-hmm. So not as surprising, still disappointing, still means we're going to have an election using districts that the courts have already said was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
The judicial redistricting is another whole scenario, which is where, and that is, you know, that hasn't happened yet. And for, you know, for folks who were in the legislature last week, there was a lot of, you know, wasn't clear whether it was moving forward. There was a lot of obfuscation. The legislature came into session, then they went out of session. There was some, you know, the Republican caucus met, which is, of course, a group that has enough members to make the policy.
Right.
And they can meet behind closed doors. And then we heard today that actually they're very close on having a deal and it's all been worked out. So nothing new for North Carolina, that everything gets worked out by the Republicans behind closed doors and then it's presented as a fait accompli. the concerns, which I know we've talked about and others have, is that these new districts are also designed to create partisan advantage for Republicans to run for judicial seats and, you know, to limit not only Democratic judges, but also African-American judges who are being double bunked and things like that.
Has anyone on the in the Republican Party, and they may well have, but I've read media reports after media reports, I've heard statements from both sides, legislators, advocates, spokespeople for both parties, people in the judicial system, people who follow the justice system in think tanks and organizations on both the left and the right. Has anyone who supports judicial redistricting even attempted to justify this on any grounds other than we want more Republicans elected?
Well, the proffered justification is that these districts are different sizes, they're oddly shaped, that they some districts have more people in them than others, that they're not necessarily as balanced. Although the kind of, you know, they're not held to that same standard as our congressional districts.
Right.
And
but
other
I mean,
districts.
They should be. So,
right. They
yeah.
can be.
Yeah.
So that's sort of one proper justification.
Okay.
But the proposals that are all coming out really seem to target judicial districts where Democratic judges continue to get elected. And so the theory is breaking those up or redrawing them will create, you know, advantages for Republican candidates.
Yeah. Speaking with Mark Dorison, and like as you said, this court fight has been going on for 8 years or 7 years already, and that's following the 2000s and the 90s where we had similar court fights. So regardless of how this ends up shaking out at the Supreme Court, which now we're talking about racial gerrymandering, partisan gerrymandering, you know that judicial redistricting is going to get challenged in the courts as well. There is a proposal on the table to fix this through the legislative process. What is it, HB 200? Is that the one to create the nonpartisan redistricting commission?
I'm not sure of the numbers,
yeah,
but, you know,
I
take Einstein's advice that you shouldn't waste your brain memorizing anything you could look up. So
true. Yeah. But there's a proposal on the table to create a nonpartisan redistricting commission and take the power out of the hands of people who stand to benefit directly from it. And that seems like something that just makes sense.
If it makes sense, if it doesn't make sense in North Carolina, I don't know where it makes sense, right? You said this has been a decade-long process. Again, in the 90s, there was another, you know, decade-long litigation around the congressional districts. And I think that there is a real groundswell of public support for a change. That is the real frustrations of the extreme gerrymandering that we've experienced and that other states have as well. Is really, you know, I think is giving real momentum to that idea.
What else is going on in Orange County that people want to know about?
Well, let's see. We have the county comes back to meet, you know, starts the season up again on Tuesday. There's a lot of interesting things on the agenda. One thing is we're going to be getting a presentation from some attorneys who are doing some work representing local governments in the opioid, you know, suing pharmaceutical manufacturers and distributors in the opioid crisis. And so we're going to get a presentation on that and think about whether that's something that Orange County ought to consider. Then we've got the commissioners have our annual retreat on Friday where we spend a day trying to tweak do the course correction, as they say, try to really focus on what the priorities are going to be this year. And certainly there's affordable housing, the usual suspects are all in the mix, but then we have an assembly of governments meeting, you know, Tuesday week, and I know there's going to be a lot of conversation about affordable housing, and there's been a lot of talk around manufactured housing in the county. You know, we have several manufactured housing parks up, you know, going up MLK and in Carborough, and those parks are coming under pressure from developers who'd like to redevelop those. And so that is one of the last sort of core bastions of affordable housing. And if that housing is threatened or subject to redevelopment, all the local governments in the community need to have a plan to help preserve housing opportunities for the folks who live there. I think that's going to be a big priority for 2018.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county government. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Aaron.